Part 3, 20. Denny Strong appeared beside Charlotte Boyer. "Hi, Appleton," he said in a toneless voice. "Hi," Nick said warily. He remembered vividly how Denny and Charlotte had run amok, and this time there existed no Earl Zeta to help him get out of there when people began bouncing off the walls. But Denny seemed calm. Wasn't that true of alcohol binges? A sine wave oscillation between murderous drunkenness and ordinary daytime civility, and Denny was at the bottom of the sine wave right now.
"How did you know I would come here?" Charlie asked. "How did you know I'd go back to Denny and we'd make up?"
"I had no other place to look," he said somberly. "Of course you went back to Denny," he thought. "All this, my trying to help her, wasted. And she probably knew it all along. I was a chess piece, used by Charlie to punish Denny. Well," he thought, "if the struggle is over, if she's back here, I see no use for myself," he thought, and said, "I'm glad things are going so well for you now."
"Hey," Denny said, "you heard about the amnesty? And them opening the camps? Wee-hee-hee!"
His slightly bloated face swelled with excitement. His bulging eyes danced as he smacked Charlie on the rump.
"And Provoni's almost—" "Don't you want to come inside?" Charlie said to Nick, putting her arm around Denny's waist.
"No, I don't think so," Nick said.
"Listen, man," Denny said, squatting down on his haunches, doing evidently some sort of bodybuilding exercises. "I don't get like I was very often. It takes a lot to make me mad, and finding out this place wasn't clean, that did it."
He retreated into the room, seated himself on the sofa.
"Sit down." In a lower voice, he said, "I got a can of Ham's beer. We'll split it three ways."
Alcohol, Nick thought. "I'll drink with them, and then the insanity will come out in all three of us." On the other hand, there existed but a single can. How drunk could they get on a third of a can of beer apiece? "I'll come in for a minute," he said. But what genuinely motivated him was not the presence of the beer, but the presence of Charlie. He yearned to gaze at her as long as possible. It was bitter tasting, her going back to Denny. She had, in effect, rejected him, Nicholas Appleton, by doing so. The emotion affecting Nick was one he had rarely experienced. Jealousy. Jealousy and anger at her for betraying him as she had done. After all, he had given up his wife and child, repudiated them by walking out of his apartment with Charlie. They had been going to stay together at the 16th Avenue plant, it had turned out. And now, because the plant had been bombed and raided, she had gone back like a sick cat to what she knew and understood, awful though it might be. Studying her face, he saw a difference now. Her face was stark, as if the makeup had been applied over a surface of metal or glass, anyhow something inorganic. That was it. Charlotte, though apparently friendly and smiling, now seemed as brittle and hard as glass, and this was why she used so much makeup, to hide that quality, that lack of humanness. Denny, slapping his crotch with glee, burbled,
"Hey, we can have 600 tracks around the apartment now with no trouble. I mean, no worry about a burst. And did you see the campers?"
He had seen them all right, clogging the foot lanes, thin, cadaverous, looking horrifyingly identical in their government-issue olive drab denims, and he had seen the Red Cross soup kitchens set up to feed them. They were everywhere, wandering like ghosts, seemingly completely unable to relate to their new environment. Well, they had no money, no jobs, no places to live. Anyhow, they were out. And as Denny said, the general amnesty cleared everyone.
"But they never caught me," Denny said, his face growing pale with aggressive pride. "They caught you two, though, shacking up at the 16th Avenue plant."
He clasped his hands before himself, rocked back and forth. To Charlie, he said,
"Even though you did your goddamn best to get us bursted."
Reaching toward the coffee table, he took the beer can, felt it, nodded.
"Cold enough still? Okay. Here we go into dreamland."
He tore the metal strip from the top of the beer can. You first, Appleton, as our guest.
I'll have a little, Nick said. He took only a small sip.
Guess what happened to Charlie? Denny said as he took a deep swallow. You probably think she's been here a day or so, from the time she got out of the 16th Avenue plant. But that's not true. She just got here an hour ago. She's been hiding and running.
Willis Graham, Nick said hoarsely. Once more, the sick fear ruled him, made him tense up and feel terribly cold.
Because, Denny said lazily, teasingly, he has these beds in rows in what he calls the building infirmary. But in fact,
stop it, Charlie said gratingly between clenched jaws.
Graham offered her a little bed rest. Did you know Graham is that type of man, Appleton?
Yes, Nick said tightly.
But I got away, Charlie said.
She giggled, mischievously.
They had four army MPs and I got away.
To Denny, she said, you know how I am when I'm mad, really mad? You saw me, Nick, when we first met. You saw Denny and I fighting, right? Aren't I awful?
So Graham didn't get you, Nick said. And I'm seeing you again, he reflected. But not really.
I'm seeing you made up for Denny, back to your disguises and falsifying forms. Legality has come to your work, but habits remain. You want to be elegant, at least elegant as you conceive it, and you want to go riding in the purple sea cow again at high speeds, speeds great enough that were you to hit anything, the body shell of the squib would disintegrate. But before that happens, it's still plenty of fun. And you two can walk into Prastical Parlor or a Sonera Smokery or a drug bar, and everyone's reaction will be, what a beautiful girl. And beside you, Denny can leer a leer which says, hey guys, look what I get to lay. And their envy will be enormous, so to speak. Rising to his feet, he said, I guess I'll go. To Charlie, he said, I'm glad you got away from Graham. I knew he wanted you, and I assumed he'd get you. That makes me feel a lot better.
He still may, Denny said, grinning and sipping beer.
Then get out of this apartment, Nick said. If I can find her, they can find her.
But they don't know her address, Denny said, propping his feet up on the table.
He wore genuine leather shoes, which had probably cost him plenty, but which gained him entry to the most notorious Sonera smokeries on the planet, including those in Vienna. That was it. They both looked dressed and groomed for a tour of drug bars and smokeries. Alk was not their only thing. It was merely one more of their illegal things. Smokery hopping was legal, and so, by assuming certain trappings, certain makeup, they could circulate with the elite of a world in which even new men and unusuals participated. Everyone, government workers included, liked the new derivation of opium called Sonera after its discoverer, Wade Sonera, a new man. It had, like miniature plastic statuettes of God, become a planet-wide craze.
You see, Appleton, Denny said, handing the virtually empty can of beer to Charlie, she carries completely false ID cards, all the official ones.
He gestured.
You know, the ones you have to have, not like, say, a Union Oil credit card. And they're faked, so good that they'll fit into those little slots in those little electronic boxes the pissers carry. Right, you little bitch?
He affectionately reached to put his arm around her.
I'm a bitch, all right, Charlie said. And that's what got me away from the federal building.
They'll find her here, Nick said patiently. Arrogantly, and at the same time exasperated, Denny said,
look, I explained it to you. When they picked you up and her at the printing plant, they...
Who is this apartment in the name of? Nick asked him. Frowning, Denny said,
me.
He brightened.
They don't know. As far as they're concerned, I don't exist.
Listen, Appleton, you have to have more guts. You're a crybaby, a crasher. Boy, if I was in the sky, I'd sure hate to have you around.
He laughed. But this time, it was an insulting laugh, one of denigration.
You're sure her name has never come up officially in connection with this apartment?
Nick asked.
Well, she's paid the rent a couple of times by check, but I fail to see how that...
If she signed a check, Nick said, for this apartment,
her name would be fed automatically into the New Jersey computer. And not just her name. It would receive and store the information as to where her name had come from, and she has a file with the PSS like the rest of us. They'll ask the New Jersey computer to spill out everything it has on you. They'll match it up to the police file, for instance. Were you two ever in the Purple Cow when you got sighted?
Yeah, Denny grunted. Speedy.
They took her name, too, as a witness. Denny, his arms folded, slowly slumping back against the sofa and down into it, said,
Yes.
Nick said, That's all they need. They've got the connection with you, then with this apartment, then God knows what the PSS folder on her may show.
A look of consternation flew across Denny's face, a shadow moving from right to left. His eyes shone with suspicion and agitation. He looked now as he had looked the time before, the mixture of fear and hate toward the authorities, the father symbols. Denny was thinking rapidly. The expression on his face changed now, second by second.
But what could they get me on? He said hoarsely. God! He rubbed his head. I'm grasped by this elk. I can't think. Could I talk my way out of it? God damn it! I have to take something.
He disappeared into the bathroom, rummaged in the medicine cabinet.
Methamphetamine hydrochloride, he said, getting a bottle down. That'll clear my brain. My brain has got to be clear if I'm going to get out of this.
So you've lost the grassy from the elk, Charlie said tauntingly, by gulleting the mess.
Don't lecture me, Denny said, coming back into the living room. I can't stand it. I'll go crazy. To Nick, he said, take her away from here. Charlotte, you stay with Nick. Don't try to come back here to the apartment. Nick, you got any pops on you? Enough to rent a motel room for a couple of days?
I guess so, Nick said, and felt delight swim through him. He had twisted Denny up enough to ace himself out.
Then find a motel, and don't phone me.
The line's probably tapped.
They're probably ready to close in right now.
Paranoid, Charlie said coldly.
She then glanced at Nick and two blackers, black uniformed police, black pissers, as they were called, entered the apartment without touching the knob or using a key. The door simply swung open for them. The black pisser on the left held something out to Nick.
Is this a photograph of you, sir?
Yes, Nick said, staring at the photograph. How had they gotten it? The picture, one print, lay in a bottom drawer of his dressing cabinet at home.
You're not getting me, Charlie said. You're not getting me!
She strode toward them, and raising her voice, she yelled, Get out of here! The black pisser reached for his regulation-issue heavy-duty laser gun. So did the other. Denny sprang onto the pisser doing the backup. Together they rolled, like cats in a fight on the floor, a buzzsaw of motion. Charlie kicked the first pisser in the groin, then, raising her arm up and back, caught his windpipe with the sharp bone of her elbow, moving at high speed so that to Nick it was only a blur of motion. And then the pisser lay on the floor, struggling to breathe, whooping loudly and vainly in a struggle for air.
There'll be one more, Denny said, rising successfully from his catfight. Downstairs, probably, or up on the roof field. Let's take a chance on the field. If we can get in the sea cow, we can outrun one of their ships. Did you know that, Appleton? I can outrun a police cruiser. I can get her up to 120 miles per hour.
He started toward the door. Nick followed numbly.
They weren't after you, Denny said to Charlie as they rose via the elevator. They were after Mr. Clean here.
Oh, she said with an oops expression. Well, Jesus, so we saved him instead of me. Isn't he important?
Denny said to Nick.
I wouldn't have fought them if I knew it was you they wanted. I don't even know you. But I saw that one going for his gun and I recognized him as a Special Forces commando. So I knew they were here for a snuff.
He smiled, a liquid, luminous smile from his big, sensual blue eyes.
You know what I've got?
He reached into his back pocket and brought out a tiny pistol.
A self-defense weapon, made by Colt. Shoots a .22 short, but with damn high muzzle velocity. I didn't have time to use it. I wasn't prepared, but I am now.
He held the gun at his side until they reached the roof field.
Don't go out, Nick said to Charlie. I'll go out alone first, Denny said, because I had the gun.
He pointed.
There she is, the cow.
Christ, if they've pulled out the ignition wires. That car had goddamn well better start, or I'll go back downstairs and kill both those pissers.
He stepped from the elevator. A black pisser leaned from behind the parked vehicle, pointed his laser tube at Denny, and said,
"Stop right there."
"Hey, Ossifer,"
Denny said congenially, showing bare hands. The gun was in his sleeve now.
"What's up? I'm going for a spin, that's all. You still trying to nail coordinates? Don't you know?"
The black pisser shot him with his laser tube. Charlie touched the one button on the elevator control panel. The doors lumbered shut. She then pressed Emergency Express. The elevator dropped, deadfall.